jara dhamarav kunja bihari gopi jana balava giri varadari jai radha madhava kunja bihari gopi jana balava giri varadari yashoda nanana bhaja jana ranjana yashoda nanana bhaja jana ranjana jamuna tira banna chari jamuna tira banna chari jai ratta madhava kunja bihari gopi janna balava giri vandadari jaya shora nanana bhaja janna Shorana nanna praja janna ranjana Jamuna tira banna chari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Radhesham Jaya Radhesham Radhesham Jaya Gora Nita Gora Nita Jaya Gora Nita Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupada, Paramahansa, 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 All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. Glories to the Sama devotees. Sri Krishna's Sankirtan Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're starting a new chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam today. It's chapter 57. Satrajit murdered, the jewel returned. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna, after the murder of Satrajit, killed Shatadvana and had Akura bring the Shyamataka jewel back to Dwarka. When Lord Sri Krishna heard that the Pandavas had supposedly been burned to death in the palace of Lak, he went to Hastinapur with Lord Baladev to maintain the principles of worldly protocol. Even though being omniscient, he knew the report was false. With Krishna out of Dwarka, Akura and Kritavarma incited Shatadvana to steal the Shyamataka jewel from Satrajit. Bewildered by their words, the sinful Shatadvana murdered King Satrajit in his sleep and stole the gem. Queen Satyabhama was overcome with grief at the death of her father, and she rushed to Hastinapur to report the sorrowful news to Sri Krishna. Together with Lord Baladev, Krishna then returned to Dwarka to kill Shatadvana. Shatadvana went to Akura and Kritavarma to beg for help, but when they refused, he left the jewel with Akura and fled for his life. Krishna and Balaram pursued him, and Lord Krishna beheaded him with his sharp-edged dish. When the Lord could not find the Shyamataka jewel on Shatadvana's person, Baladev told him that Shatadvana must have left it in someone's care. Baladev further suggested that Krishna return to Dwarka to find the jewel while he, Baladev, would take opportunity to visit the king of Videha. Thus, Lord Balaram traveled to Mithila and remained there for a few years, during which he taught King Duryodhan the art of fighting with a club. Lord Krishna returned to Dwarka and had the funeral rites performed for Satrajit. When Akura and Kritavarma heard how Shatadvana had met his death, they fled Dwarka. Soon, many kinds of disturbances, mental, physical, and so on, began to afflict Dwarka, and the citizens concluded that the cause of these troubles must be Akura's exile. The city elders explained, once there was a drought in Benares, and the king of the region gave his daughter in marriage to Akura's father, who was visiting Benares at the time. As a result of this gift, the drought ended. The elders, thinking Akura had the same power as his father, declared that Akura should be brought back. Lord Krishna knew that Akura's exile was not the main cause of the disturbances. Still, he had Akura brought back to Dwarka, and after properly honoring him with worship and greeting him with sweet words, Krishna told him, I know Shatadvana left the jewel in your care. Since Satrajit had no sons, his daughter's offspring are the first claimants to whatever property he has left behind. Nonetheless, it would be best for you to keep the troublesome jewel in your care. Just let me show it once to my relatives. Akura presented Krishna with the jewel, which shone as brilliantly as the sun, and after the Lord had shown it to his family members, he returned it to Akura. So we'll do text 1 through 4. We could do this one together. Shri Badarayana Uvacha Divyar Tarta Piko Vindo Dhadhan Akarna Pandavan Kuntim Chakulya Karane Saharamo Yayau Kurum. Translation. Shri Badarayana said, although Lord Krishna was fully aware of what had actually occurred, when he heard reports that the Pandavas and Queen Kunti had been burned to death, he went with Lord Balaram to the kingdom of the Kurus to fulfill the family obligations expected of him. Purport. The Lord was quite aware that the Pandavas had escaped the assassination plot of Duryodhana, although the world heard the false news that the Pandavas and their mothers had perished in the fire. Together. Bhishmam kripam saviduram gandharim dronamevacha tuya dukaucha sangamya ha kasnam iti hokuta. The two lords met with Bhishma, Kripa, Vidura, Gandhari, and Drona. Showing sorrow equal to theirs, they cried out, "Alas, how painful is this!" Purport. Srila Siddhartha Swami points out that those who were involved in the assassination attempt were, of course, not at all sorry to hear of the Pandava's death. The person specifically mentioned here, however, Bhishma, Kripa, Vidura, Gandhari, and Drona, were actually unhappy to hear of the supposed tragedy. Text 3 together. Labhaitat antaram rajan shatadhan bhana urchita akura krita varmhano mani kasman nakriyate. Translation. Taking advantage of this opportunity, O king, Akura and Kritavarma went to Shatadhanva and said, "Why not take the Shyamantaka jewel?" Purport. Akura and Kritavarma reasoned that since Krishna and Balaram were absent from Dwarka, Sartrajit could be killed and the jewel stolen. Srila Sridhar Swami mentions that these two must have flattered Shatadhanva, telling him, "You are much braver than we are, so you kill him." Repeat after me. Yosmabhyam sampratishrutya kanya ratnam bhighainaha krishna yadana satrajit kasma bhrataram anvityat. Chant. Come on, you're memorizing the word? Questions? Translation. Sartrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave away her to Krishna instead, contemptuously neglecting us. So why should Sartrajit not follow his brother's path? purport. Since Sutraja's brother Prasena had been violently killed, the implication of following his brother's path is obvious. What we have here is an assassination plot. It is well known that both Akura and Kritavarma are exalted pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, so their unusual behavior requires some explanation. The acharya is provided as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami states that Akura, although a first-class pure devotee of the Lord, was a victim of the anger directed against him by the residents of Gokul because he took Lord Krishna away from Vrindavan. The Goswami further states that Kritavarma had association with Kamsa, both of them being members of the Bhoja dynasty, and thus Kritavarma was now suffering from this undesirable association. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers an alternative explanation. Both Akura and Kritavarma were furious with Sartraja because he had insulted Lord Krishna and spread false rumors about him in Dwarka. Under normal circumstances, Akura and Kritavarma would have been most pleased that Lord Krishna married the beautiful Satyabhama. Being pure devotees, they could not actually be unhappy about this match, nor could they become jealous rivals of the Lord. Therefore, they had an ulterior motive in behaving like his rivals. So I guess you can choose whichever side you want to go for. I can't give much explanation beyond what's said here, and I definitely can't come to a conclusion on why they did it, but looks like some bad association was involved and some cursing and counter-cursing. This whole Shyamataka Jewel story has so much going on in it, so many different rumors going, floating around and causing agitation and people killing this person, that person, and it's quite amazing that we have a view of what's going on here. But now this gets a little confusing because we have two different views of why these pure devotees actually got implicated in the killing of Sutraja, especially was done in his sleep, which is really kind of a low kshatriya type thing to do. So I really can't comment too much on that. But it's interesting that in the beginning we get a kind of an overview of what's going on at this time frame, that actually the things are getting churned up for the Kurukshetra War. We can see that Krishna and Balaram are now aware that the Pandavas have so-called left because of the enviousness of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. And then also we hear that at this time Balaram goes and starts to train Duryodhana how to use a club. And we know what that leads into later on. So this is kind of all going on at that time. So it's kind of interesting because the Srimad Bhagavatam is really hard to figure out the timeline. So in this incident, Akura and Kritavarma are pretty much up to no good, and they have influence on this Shatadanva also with tricky words, trying to flatter him, saying that you're so wonderful, so you should go get to do the dirty deed. And he falls for it. But so much is going on, and it's all really centered around lust, anger, and greed. These are three sisters, and the Bhagavad Gita is described that they are paths leading to hell, and that they carry us very quickly. These sisters are like inseparable. It's like, you know, they're holding hands and they just kind of like smother you. You can't get out from them. It leads from one to the other. Actually, on Sunday feast, Ritavaja Maharaj gave a wonderful description of how lust turns into anger and greed and then to bewilderment. It's very difficult to actually get out of that. And we've weak experience, because it describes in Bhagavad Gita that lust is just like a little spark. It sparks from us touching our senses with something, somehow or other, either by seeing, hearing, something. A little spark ignites. None of us, I'm sure, have escaped feeling that little, ooh, oh yes, I just have to have it. And then the flames start to kindle, and it burns. It actually burns in your heart. It burns throughout your body. It gets to the point where I just got to have this. And it just completely infuriates you. You actually can turn red in the face, and you can really lose it. And it's amazing, just that little teeny touch, that little spark. And it's described that this that in the human form of life, all of our senses are very strong. Animals, they have like one strong sense, but we have them all fired up, ready to go, and to contact everything in every direction. So we definitely have a problem with that. And if by chance we're intelligent, we can see, oh, there's that spark. Let me put it out. Poof! Immediately throw something on top of it. And usually you can just use your breath, Hare Krishna, and it'll go away. And then your intelligence can go, yes, I don't need it, I don't want it, there's no need to go there. And it's done with. But unfortunately, most people are not that intelligent, and then it gets a little blazing. And they're thinking, you know, I got to put this thing out, it's getting out of control. Now all the senses become out of control, and then your intelligence is lost, and then you find yourself, you know, in flames. And usually, you're very regretful of the things that come out of that. I used to go to the jail a lot and speak to the girls, and most all of them were there because of anger. They just couldn't control it, and they end up with battery chargers, and so many other things come from there. And so they have to have all these anger management programs in jail, because it really puts you in a situation where you really wish you had put it out in the beginning. So to have it go out of control, it's very unfortunate. So therefore, our intelligence has to be very strong, and our determination also. But it's usually because of ignorance that we just don't recognize it. We just think that this is an inhuman quality that we all have, that, yes, I just succumb to this lust. Satyadanva, he actually could kind of regret. It says that actually his future purpose, it says that, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get a bad result. Everything's going to be inauspicious. So he had the intelligence, but he didn't have the strength to not succumb to this bad influence. Who can remember in Ramapada Maharaj's class what the cause of lust is that he said? Pride. He actually said it was pride, and I was a little surprised by that. But actually, it's very true, because this pride is thinking that that I'm actually the big man on campus, that it's all about me, and all the enjoyment should be for me. All the girls should be for me, the intoxication, all the enjoyment should be for me. And you forget that actually Krishna is that supreme enjoyer. And so with that pride, then you just become, you know, you want everything for yourself. And therefore that lust is out of control. And the solution is not to put more fuel on it. Don't think that, oh, well, I'm not really satisfied with this girl or this situation or whatever. I just need more, that's all. I just need more of it. Increase it, and then I'll be more satisfied. But there's no limit, because you can never be satisfied, because you're not the supreme enjoyer. It's so simple, so scientific. I don't know why people don't get it. There's a situation recently of just a humdrum man, you know, like in a neighborhood over here somewhere, you picture them. You go to Kangaroo at the gas station here, and you see all these people come in and buy these jackpot and this many lottery tickets and that many and 10, you know, big scroll of them. They probably don't have enough food on the table, but they're hopeful of being satisfied of getting the money. Well, a man recently just won $90 million, and it said in his quotation is, I quit. So it's taken him that much to get $90 million. Okay, no more. I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, is that what it's going to take for us? You know, just that, not, you know, so much endeavor, so much, you know, hopes of enjoying and trying against all odds to endeavor until we quit. So we quit trying to enjoy by accumulating different things. It's really, It's really a shame that that we don't have that control. But Krishna consciousness has a better idea, and we have a better program where we try to simply minimize our bodily demands. We have some, but we minimize them. Prabhupada encouraged us over and over again to just take what's needed and to not over-endeavor. Nectar of Instruction also says don't over-endeavor. But get control. This way you can control your body. You can control your senses. If it's regulated, if you know what you need, what you don't need. And then, of course, we have the enriched intelligence. We have so much knowledge that it's not good for me. You know, I shouldn't go there. Just refrain. Just become that turtle and pull in your little limbs and your little head and just let it go past. Be satisfied. Connecting with Krishna, coming here, seeing the beautiful form of Shyamasundara, Krishna Balaram, making garlands, doing so many different things for Krishna. Just be satisfied this lifetime doing some simple service. And that's what keeps us here, because we are satisfied. So it's a wonderful program. But it's easier said than done, because there's so much available out there. You know, every year, you know, the availability magnifies more the more we have intermedia, this and that. Now you can find things, a variety of things from a different country that you just have to have, right? You just need to try it. So it's a big river of flowing, you know, sense gratification. It's Amazon. Go on the internet, Amazon, that big, huge river, right? Everything you can possibly want and you don't need and you don't want, but you go there and it's there. It's that big river of sense gratification that we can't pull ourselves out. We can't swim out. It's so difficult. And that's why, you know, this idea of self-sufficiency is not a real popular number, even in Krishna consciousness, because, you know, oh, I'm just going to live and just whatever I make, that's what I use, and what about all those other things out there that I could have? All those beautiful fruits and vegetables from other places and cloths and sense gratification. So it's very difficult. This greed is for people that their highest goal is just the sense gratification. That's it. There's really no room for surrender. They just... Our ignorance is a symptom that this life is all in all. Whatever I can get, as much as I can get, that's my goal in life. And it's so unfortunate, so unfortunate. And we go out there and we see this. We see people having 2-3 jobs, trying to satisfy everyone in their family with things that they don't really need, and at the expense of what? A compromise of our peacefulness. A compromise of attaining perfection in this lifetime, of having real quality happiness. And what do devotees really need? We need our bead bag. We need our books. We need some boga to offer to Krishna, right? I've just been reading that book about Jamuna, and she lived in Tittenhurst or someplace, and for months and months, and she had 2 saris. That's all. 2 saris. She washed one night, wore it the next day, no problem. And you know, what really do we need? Of course, everyone has different needs. But there's just so much stuff that we accumulate. At one point, Lakshmani said, I think we need another shed. I go, no, we don't need another shed. And we were discussing the other day, we need to clean out that shed. We could have our own yard sale, you know, of all the stuff. I've got stuff in there I've been carrying around for 20, 30 years. I'm going to use it, though. No worry, I'm going to use it. Stupid things. And she was telling me that when they went to clean out her mother's apartment after she left, I guess she had an addiction that if you get something on sale, that you just buy hundreds of them. Hundreds of sponges, because they're on sale. You know, enough to last your whole lifetime, and then your daughter's lifetime, and your granddaughter's lifetime. So I know my mother has an addiction to coupons, you know. She just gets a paper... She has envelopes this big of coupons just for 1 week. And she doesn't really need anything, but it's you get 2 cents off your toilet paper, you know? You got to go buy, you know? It's a it's such a frame of mind, a consciousness that we have here in the West. It's just pitiful, you know. And then people actually have addiction to yard sales, going to yard sales and finding, of course I need that. And look how cheap it is. And then what do? Well, in the North, you have an attic and you have a basement. So you can fill up your attic and your basement. But in South, we have a garage, right? And then we can get a shed. If you have about 5 acres, you can get a few sheds on there until the neighbors complain, right? And then you get the pods. You can now roll these pods on your, which are even bigger than a shed. And then you can go to the mini shed, the mini storages. And then you can go to the maxi storages. And then you can get an RV that you use once a year. You pay for it to keep on someone else's land. You can stuff your RV full of stuff. Yeah, you can get a lot of stuff. And I'm sure you'll use it all, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, this greed is out of control, and it doesn't satisfy you at all. But it does guarantee you one thing. It actually has a benefit. It gives you a gift card at the time of death. It's a gift card you can take, and it's guaranteed no expiration date. You can take it your next lifetime and keep shopping, and then you can go to your next lifetime, and it's a full, no limit on there. You can buy as much as you want. You could just keep on going lifetime after lifetime. Except at the bottom it says there is some birth, death, disease, and old age, which you'll have to suffer, but that's okay. So anyway, for the devotee, it's a different program. This loba can actually turn into loyam, which is intense greed for Krishna, which we're told to pray for desperately. Otherwise, it's taking away from other people our greed. It's said that actually 25% of the population in the world, we're included in that 25%, consumes everything and leaves whatever's left is left for the other 75%. Pretty hellish situation. And then there's a balance. Some people say, well, this is very unequal. It's not right. So therefore, Marxists, Lenin, they said, well, let's just make everything exactly equal for everybody. And then the controller, the enjoyer, will be the government. No, that doesn't work either, right? But Shirsha Upanishad says that there is this Ishavasha principle that everyone has a right to a certain quota. And if we all just take that quota and swallow it and be happy, then there'll be peace in the world. So this is the actual, the real solution to this greed is to realize that Krishna owns everything and that whatever we have, whatever he gives us, we use for him. And Nectar of Instruction says, and if we don't, then what happens? Says it's a hindrance, not only a hindrance, but it's also an impediment. It's a blockage to our spiritual advancement. We get off the path of surrendering to Krishna, and we're gone. And then we're in that other 25% consuming everything. So we much rather relish intense, loving, devotional service. This greed for more and more service to Krishna that will fill us up in this lifetime with the greatest satisfaction and continue lifetime after lifetime without any birth, death, disease, and old age. It'll be eternal pleasure. So this loyam, this intense greed, is something that we should yearn for because it will bind us to Krishna. Nothing will never be separated from Krishna. It allows us real freedom. We can actually freely enjoy our relationship with Krishna again to no limit. And so we should be thinking in that direction. This is the way I want to go. There's some very nice examples of this intense greed. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first one I thought of was the cleansing of the Gundicha temple and the Bengali Vaishnav who took some water and poured it on the feet of Lord Chaitanya and scooped out his hands and got that water, right? Just, I have to have it. And he drank it right there in the temple room and took the mercy. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is this? And he calls Srirupa Damodara and he says, this is your Bengali Vaishnav. He has no etiquette right in the temple room. He's making this offense of taking this and honoring it. And what is my fate? What's going to happen to me now that this has happened to me? He says, you take him. And he was supposedly angry, but he wasn't really angry. But he showed that he was a little bit angry. And he was actually very satisfied that that person was so greedy to do that. And so the Srirupa Damodara grabbed him by the neck, it said, pushed him out the door. And then he said, please excuse him, please excuse him. And of course, he was very happy that the devotees were running after and trying to get the mercy of his lotus feet. Another Chaitanya Charitamrita story was the of the person in South India that would invite people to their homes and be very greedy to get the remnants of their food. And he would invite all kinds of Vaishnavas in the whole town to come, and he would trick them, and when the plates was thrown, he'd go and scrape off the little remnants that were left. And we find that game happen a lot when we invite people over to our house, too. There's always these games of stealing off of people's plates and things like that. Actually, Srila Prabhupada authorized that. I think it was Jai Gopal stole a sweet ball off of Tamal Krishna when they were all eating together, and he said, did you see that, Prabhupada? He stole my sweet ball. And Prabhupada said, yes, he's a very nice boy. So I guess it's all right. But there is an incident where I think a couple devotees in L.A. were going to steal, switch Prabhupada's slippers. And I don't know if it was Nalini Kantor or not, or something like that. No, not Nalini. Bhaskar. Yeah, Bhaskar. Yeah. But then Prabhupada said, you know, it's not good to try to trick your spiritual master. So if you're going to do something like that, don't get caught. Anyway. This, it's all right to be a hog for service, but you don't want to be offensive or step on anyone's toes, although there is that kind of low-class woman in Puri that stepped right on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders out of intense eagerness to see the deities, right? And everyone's going, oh no, pull her down, you know, but Lord Chaitanya said, oh, that's all right, let her see the deities. So this is the mood that we should be in, somehow or other, to beg, borrow, steal, and get the nectar. Actually, in Japa, that is a time when we have full rein to get all the nectar we want. To become intensely greedy for the holy name, to Krishna as much as we want. And every day you should see that as an opportunity. Yes, I need that mercy. I need Krishna's mercy. Please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. And Krishna will respond. He'll start giving himself to you. Our devotees, I think, as Rupa Goswami says, I just want thousands of tongues and ears to relish this name. That's how much they were intensely absorbed in this japa. So we should pray to the Goswamis for that utsaha, that enthusiasm and that greed to get the nectar of the name. Because there is no limit to Krishna's mercy. So in this lifetime, somehow or other, we have to be determined to just give up the association of these three sisters. I know I had two sisters, and I was the middle one. I kind of bullied them around. So we get bullied around by this lust, anger, and greed. We should be determined to give up their association and to become more peaceful and to begin to just relish our service, whatever it might be, and to beg to have more of a taste for that love for Krishna so that we can get out of this crazy place where everyone is lusty and angry and greedy all the time, doing horrible things, horrific things, just like they're about to do to Shatrajit. There is This is the Christmas time of year, and there's a story about someone who was very, very greedy. His name was Scrooge, right? I don't know. You don't know Scrooge? No? Anyway, he was against Christmas, excuse me. He was against Christmas and Krishna, probably, because he said, why give everything out? You keep it for yourself. You know, that you just give as much as you can. And so if you're called a Scrooge, that's because you just hoard everything for yourselves. You just hoard it. And he says, he was miserable, though. He was an old, grumpy old Scrooge, miserable because of it. And so if we don't give the Shama jewel on the altar here to everybody by giving out Krishna consciousness to other people, we will be like a Scrooge. So, and we won't be happy. We'll be the happiest if we go out and give Shama, Lord Sham, to everybody in the form of these books, because they are in ignorance. They don't know who the Ishvara is. They're full of pride. They think that they should be the supreme enjoyer. It's just they're bewildered. That's all. They're overcome by this lust, anger, and greed. They need the knowledge. So we have to go out, and we need to give this. I'm going to be going out today. If anybody would like to go with me, we'll meet in the parking lot at 3 o'clock and organize. I have an idea, if anyone else would like to try it, is to actually, to relieve the suffering of all these people, they need to be able to meditate on Krishna. So I'm going to have a lot of japa kit sets ready to go door-to-door with a very beautiful package of japa beads and chant and be happy and flyers and everything all in there that show you how to chant and offer these meditation kits to people. I think people might go for it. I mean, we do them on the streets and at campus, and they're, yeah, let me try something different. They'll say, it's a stocking stuffer here. Put it in your stocking. Get rid of all anxiety. What better gift could you give to somebody? A way to get rid of this anxiety. So maybe if you'd like to go today, we can give up our Scrooge mentality and give the best thing to all these people. Anybody have any questions or comments? Kalipani?
Tofu? That Bengali Vaishnav who used to trick devotees into being able to feed them, his name is Kali Krishna Das.
Okay. I looked under that and I ended up with somebody else.
Okay, Kali Das.
Okay. Good.
And you said the lady who stood on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders, you referred to as a low-class lady.
I'm thinking of the picture in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. She looks like a very old. Huh? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I guess that's what I was thinking of. But, of course, it's spirit soul. Part of Lord Jagannath. Yes, Jirika.
Just to touch back on the text itself for a minute, and then I have another comment after that. So, Lord Balaram went to Vaideha, and he taught Duryodhan the art of fighting. And the only way I could have reasoned with that was maybe to create a balance and boost his ego a little bit, you know, so that war could actually be take place. Because otherwise, you know, if you have almighty warriors one side and you have limbs on the other side, you know, not only going. And Kritavarman and Akrura. Kritavarman took the side of Duryodhan later on also in that fight.
On the Yadu side. He fought against the Pandavas.
No, Kritavarman.
Yeah.
He fought with the Pandavas? Or
against the Pandavas.
Yeah, against the Pandavas. Yeah. I don't think Akrura fight. Maybe because he's a Brahmana. But coming to the point you were making earlier, when Rama Padmaraj says about greed, but he says we should remember we come with nothing and we leave with nothing. See, so all the accumulations and so, see, it's useless. But there's also a different type of greed I'd like to pinpoint, and that is greed for nations. You know, and this is on
greed
the state.
For what? Nations?
Greed for nations. Yeah, in other words, so-called knowledge, which is nations, with the scripture thing. Mm-hmm. And then we have like 3-4 degrees, and then we're very proud about it. See? And sometimes, you know, this kind of illusion is understated in so many ways. You know, but we're so puffed up. I have this degree, and, you know, it's all nations.
Papa said it could be a very big disqualification. Too much wealth, too much knowledge, too much beauty.
I was noticing that there's an incompatibility between the spirit soul and the material energy. So the material energy is on a different platform, but the bewildered soul doesn't know that. So the desire is coming from the spirit soul. He wants to enjoy his relationship with Krishna, and when he's in the material energy, he's not getting any satisfaction. So the propaganda is that you just need more of it. So actually the lust is the perverted reflection of the love, and the greed is just proof that the soul can never be satisfied in this material world. So he just keeps thinking to get more and more of it, but he can't help himself because he's under the material nature. And then because he doesn't know what's going on, he just gets angry. So it's all just the incompatibility of the spirit soul, because it says this material miseries are superfluous to the living entities, but they don't know it. It can be mitigated.
So we need to let them know. We need to let them know. Hare Krishna, Guru Prabhupada.